Blog Talk Radio.
Hey, man, did you hear that?
Hey, everybody, Santa's here!
Aw, there ain't no Santa Claus.
Yes, there is. There is, too, man. He's here!
Merry Christmas, boys!
Red Peter!
Come on, you swinging hamsters, get over here! Right. We're gonna sing us a happy Christmas song!
Oh, no, not another corny, stupid song!
Yeah. Hey.
Grab your nuts, hamsters, gather round with me! Forget about all that teasing. We're breaking out the holly and aluminum tree, cause it's that jolly season.
Oh,
I know you've been naughty, but have you been nice? That's only Santa's business.
That's right, Red.
He's making his list and he's checking it twice.
Uh-oh. Holy shit, it's Christmas.
Santa comes just once a year.
Tell him,
Hamster. Just like you, Red, that's what we need.
Hey, wait a minute. It's a holiday. Go on and give Santa a big kiss.
No way.
You can play hide the hamster on a one-horse sleigh.
Hey, wait a minute.
Holy shit, it's Christmas.
That's Red Peters.
Hello.
Getting us into the Christmas spirit. Red Peters. How you doing tonight, superstar? Today, this afternoon?
I am well, man. I am well. How are you?
I'm exhausted after trying to, well, we'll talk about that in a second. How's it going, everybody? Welcome to the thirdmanin.com's Puck Chatter Radio here on this Saturday afternoon, December the 14th, 2013, 1209 in Chicago. It took me 7 minutes thanks to, I bought a new laptop, superstar. I think I told you about this. And I made the tragic mistake of buying a Windows 8 laptop.
Oh, boy.
Yeah. It's actually a pretty long story. Maybe we'll go into it later. But, yeah, I bought it. I need two new laptops, but this is the first one that I bought. And it had everything that I wanted, and I just underestimated how bad Windows 8 is. You know,
it's challenging, that's for sure. If you're not used to it and you know, it's not something you've worked with, it's challenging.
I hate two things in life, superstar. Everything else I'm fine with. Two things right now.
Just two.
I only hate two things in life. Just two. I hate Yahoo Mail and I hate Windows 8. Those are the only two things right now that are causing me grief.
You know, if those are the only two things in your whole life giving you grief, I think you're doing pretty well for yourself.
Yeah, I guess you could look at it that way. See, you're a glass half full guy.
I try to be.
I have no idea what we're going to talk about today on the show. I'm completely flustered by that 7-minute sign-in thing. Actually, it was like a 17-minute sign-in problem. We're doing the show over Skype. Well, I am anyhow. And basically the issue was Windows 8 demanded me to log into Skype using my Microsoft ID. It would not allow me to do any other way. And I don't know what my Microsoft ID is. So it took me, you know, and then I had to figure out what my, because everything was stored into my old laptop. So I didn't even know, like, what my Skype ID was. Like, I don't use Skype for other than the show. Like, I don't want to see people while I talk to them, you know? Like, so, you know, it just took forever. But I know we'll talk about Blackhawks are in Toronto tonight. I was supposed to be in Toronto today. I'm a little bit upset about that, superstar.
Sorry about that, buddy.
That's the third thing that I'm upset about. By the show, I'm sure we'll have a full list. Blackhawks in Toronto tonight. The Blackhawks are on quite a roll of late.
They are.
I mean, yeah, they've pretty much been on a roll for about 11 months, but of late, especially.
What is it, three games with at least six?
Yeah. I mean, I have a request. Could the Black Ops at least make things a little bit more interesting? Like, remember, you know, like,
talk about.
It was just like a month ago where they were just sort of, you know, they kind of lollygagging through games, and then all of a sudden, like, two goals. You know, they're down a goal, like, 5 minutes left of the game, and then all of a sudden, like, two goals in less than a minute, and all of a sudden they win the game. Like, that was interesting. That was fun. This stuff, I don't know. I'm completely bored by the Chicago Blackhawks, I got to say. On the ice, everything that happens around this team is fascinating. But the on-the-ice stuff is pretty boring. Speaking of stuff that happens around the Chicago Blackhawks, I'm sure we'll delve a little bit into the finality of the Kyle Beach era.
Which you saw coming a long time ago.
Well, I think a lot of people saw it coming, but I had some pretty good timing a couple of weeks ago. Rutu being under the desk and barking. It's a wonderful day outside today, Superstar. Have you peeked outside?
Have I peeked outside? I did my driveway already, buddy. I'm on top of the ball.
I was outside with Rutu a little while ago, my little puppy dog. He's not a puppy anymore. Superstar, we had a huge party at the house last weekend. You missed it. Rutu last weekend turned 4 years old, and we had a huge extravaganza at the house. We invited his friends over from the neighborhood. We had a few dogs here. I'm still picking up confetti and little chunks of pig's ears. Sorry you missed it. But yeah, that little punk in the background that you may hear barking, that's Rutu.
I can't believe he's four already.
Yeah, he's 4 years old. He's a big boy. Well, he's not big. He's still 7 or 8 pounds, but it was funny because this week, you know, in Chicago, for the people that live out of town, in Chicago, it's been pretty frigid cold. You know, like every morning you walk outside and it's like 4 degrees, you know. And I know there's people that live in Canada that listen to this, say, oh, try minus 17 Fahrenheit. Well, I mean, that's pretty cold too. But, you know, I take Rutu outside, and, like, he runs around. He loves running around in the snow. He runs around in the snow, but then I think anything below 15 degrees, like, his paws start to freeze. And he doesn't really understand what's going on, so he starts, like, looking all around, and then he starts shivering, and he's got this worried look on his face. He looks at me. He's like, come get me. He's like, you know, and it didn't help that I took him to get groomed last week for his birthday. Oh, he was pissed. He was pissed, Superstar. Yeah. I said, I got a birthday present for you, Rutu. So we went to the groomer, and he loves going to the groomer because there's all these other dogs there, and, you know, but Rutu has a little Napoleon complex, so he goes around, he starts barking at everybody, growling at the other dogs, standing his ground. But then I pick him up. He's like, what the fuck did you do to me? You know, they like shaved. He had a lot of hair, but yeah, they shaved them down. So it's not like it was a bad timing on the shaving, but it was his birthday present. He got his ears cleaned. He got his teeth brushed. Yeah, so he's
gotta watch a little Rutu in snow like this. You can lose the little guy.
I know. Today I was out there. Like he's running around. He's like trying to. I don't know what he's digging for. And he loves it though, because he'll do his business, and then he gets like in the summertime he just kicks grass up. But he, you know, because I don't know, he's got that animal instinct where like they dump and then they have to cover it. You know, like cats do that too. Where they like, you know, they like act like they're covering whatever they did. But yeah, he does that too. But like now in the winter, like he actually can cover his dump. So you got to be careful when you're walking around out there. But yeah, it's actually nice because usually he's running around. It's like it's difficult to get him inside without walking over and picking him up. But when it's like 0 degrees outside, he's out there for like 2 minutes, and then he's like, I want to go in. It's perfect for me. especially since I've been sick since I got back in California. So, yeah, we'll talk about Kyle Beach a little bit. I had a conversation last night with Brandon Peary, formerly, well, not formerly, but he was with the Chicago Blackhawks for a little while, got sent back down to Rockford. I know a lot of people were wondering about that. We'll talk about that in a little bit. And maybe some emails. And Stan Bowman, actually, about Brandon Peary. Stan Bowman had some interesting comments. And I don't know, anything else that we can think of over the next hour. Anything going on in your world, Superstar?
Not really, man. Just, you know, work, plugging away, getting the house ready for the holidays. And, you know, that's about it.
I know. I'm going to put my tree up today.
Are you? Yeah, we knocked that out earlier in the week. So it's a little different when you're married, Block.
Well, that ain't happening. But I haven't put my tree up in a couple of years. But you know, Rutu and I are gonna break out the eggnog a little bit later. I'm not going. Rockford and the Oklahoma City Barons are playing tonight out in the wonderful city of Rockford, Illinois. You took a trip out there with me a couple weeks ago. We should talk about that. But I will not be at the game in Rockford tonight. I'm taking the night off. I need a night off, Superstar.
You do. You work hard. It's not an easy drive.
No, especially last night. Last night coming back from Rockford sucked. But that's not the reason why I'm not going. But, yeah, you took you were at the BMO on the 30th, right? The night that Kyle Beach made it rain teddy bears.
Yeah, Kyle Beach didn't make it rain teddy bears. That's for sure. Yeah, I mean, it was a good time. I mean, the BMO was, I guess, rocking as much as the BMO can. But, yeah, it was good to get back out there. I believe that's only my second trip out, so.
How are my levels? How do I sound? I can't tell how I sound on this. Am I all right?
You sound fine to me, man.
Okay. Yeah, that was the night of Kyle Beach's hat trick and my post-game conversation with the Beachster. And I guess we might as well just talk about him now. Yeah, Kyle Beach. I guess for, you know, to recap, Kyle Beach sent to the New York Rangers. Anybody who listens to this show knows that that was no big surprise. We've talked about that a few times here, and I think also on the Hockey Night podcast, I've dropped that a couple of times as well. Rangers, this trade's kind of, I mean, I don't know how many times it would have been discussed between Glenn Sather and Stan Bowman, but this trade's something that's sort of been lingering for a while. The Rangers have had interest in Beach dating back, well, many years, actually. But they were looking into him last year. You know, of course, Beach's rookie season, you know, I mean, he wasn't really a guy that was on the table, I think, as far as the Blackhawks. I think they wanted to let him play out and see what they had in him and hope that he, you know, some of the personality issues. See, I do want to say this because I think that there's a lot of misinformation out there or conclusions that have been drawn about Kyle Beach. You know, he's a complex kid. Like, you know, personally, my dealings with Kyle, like, I like Kyle, you know, and I've said this before. He was one of the best guys to deal with in Rockford. I you know, just from my perspective of, You know, it was never difficult to get an interview with him, aside from this last month. You know, but that was, you know, he was upset about. I mean, he really shouldn't have been upset with me. He should have been upset with himself. But I think what, you know, some things that I wrote struck a chord, and he wasn't happy about it. But you know, other than that, he was always very gracious in his time and very easy to talk to as far as doing interviews about hockey go. You know, I mean, I put him, you know, right there with a guy like Ben Smith, as far as that goes. Now, of course, the personality stuff is something that the personality stuff is some stuff, you know, that's, you know, that was something that's always an issue with him. You know, I think that Kyle, he's not, again, he's not a bad guy. I think that he's just, you know, for a lack of a better way of putting it, he's just kind of a dope. You know, I mean, he's a good kid who just, I don't know if he'll ever figure it out. I mean, how, you know, to act like a professional and, like, you know, some of that stuff. For the people that listen to the interview on thethirdmanin.com, puckshatter.com, with Kyle and I, and then also with Ted Dent and I, you know, they were kind of, dick is the wrong word. I mean, they weren't very particular about what happened, and I don't really know what happened that caused Kyle to be out of the lineup four straight games prior to him getting back in the lineup and getting that hat trick. But, you know, I mean, it's, you know, it's just, he doesn't, I think he means well, you know, that he's sort of like a character and a guy that wants to liven up the room and have fun. I think he means well. He just doesn't understand how to act, you know, how conduct is expected of him and in certain situations and times, and that's plagued him over the years. But he's not a bad guy. And, you know, the on-the-ice stuff with him, as we've chronicled on this show and on the website for many years and in other places, it's immensely frustrating because, you know, he's a guy, and there it is again. I mean, it's a guy that he just doesn't get it, you know. I mean, he's it's been better this year in what we've seen from him, but, you know, constantly thinking that for him to be effective was that he had to be trying to draw penalties behind the play and trash talking and getting under the other, you know, the other team's skin. Like, that's not, you know, he's a big body guy who's, you know, skating has always needed improvement. It still needs improvement, but, you know, big body guy, you just got to get to the net, you know, get that puck, skate towards the net, draw penalties by being a big guy, protecting the puck, driving towards the net. That's how you draw penalties if you're Kyle Beach. But instead, you know, he's 80 feet behind the play, spearing some guy in the back of the leg, hoping that he'll turn around and, you know, slash him so he could draw a penalty. Like, that's not the way he should have went about it. But that's the way that he thought he was going to be effective, you know, and it didn't work out for him. And now he's in Hartford, and, I think that, it definitely was doing the show from home is not ideal. Can you get that superstar?
Can I get what?
The phone.
I did not hear your phone.
Oh, it's going off. Yeah, doing the show from home is not really ideal. I think that kind of wrap this up. I don't want to spend all day on Kyle, but it definitely was something that he wanted. He wanted a new place. I think a lot of people were mystified, just as the fans. I think a large part of the fans were about why Kyle was re-signed and why he was re-signed and then not really taken seriously in camp, I guess is a way of putting it. You know, again, I mean, here's a guy to look at it from Kyle's perspective. Here's a guy who got re-signed, took his conditioning and, you know, and his off-season workout program very seriously. You know, stayed in Chicago. Obviously, the girlfriend lives here, and that was a big reason why he did as well the year before. You know, but he was here, he worked out, he took it seriously, he came into camp in the best condition of his life, and they, again, I mean, they just didn't really take him seriously. They didn't give him a chance. And then they said, okay, you're going to go back to Rockford now. And that's, for me, that was where I sort of lost it with Kyle, because, you know, you're either in it or you're not, you know. And when you get cut from camp and they say you need to, you know, because no one, whether Kyle got re-signed or not, no one in their right mind would have considered that Kyle had a shot of making the Blackhawks out of camp. So Kyle shouldn't have either. Kyle's agent shouldn't have either. I mean, can you be disappointed that he only got one preseason game? But what was two preseason games going to get him? You know, was two preseason games going to get him a shot at the Blackhawks? No. Was three preseason games going to get him on that fourth line with Marcus Kruger instead of Joakim Nordstrom? No. You know, I mean, he everything was positive going back to Rockford, and then all of a sudden he wanted to leave. He, you know, and that's where it's like he quit. To me, that's what that was. Like, he quit on the Blackhawks. They gave him a contract. They gave him nice money. They gave him another opportunity. Well, no matter what you want to think about the why did the Black, you know, you sit around, why did the Blackhawks sign? Why did, why, what sense does that make? They, it doesn't matter. They gave him another opportunity. And then he left. I mean, at that point, it's over. I mean, there's no more opportunities. You know, like Kyle said in the interview with me, it's like, oh, I just want another opportunity. You know, it's like, no. You know, we were giving you the opportunity and you walked away from it. And, you know, so I think, you know, they found out about the trade on the 6th, Friday the 6th. Kyle and the Ice Hogs had just wrapped up practice in Charlotte, and they were on the bus back to the hotel when they found out. And, you know, from what I understand, Kyle was kind of emotional about it. You know, he definitely wanted out, you know. But I think when the reality sets in that you spent, you know, parts of five seasons, you know, with a lot of the same people, you know, Ted Dent was his coach for that entire time, you know, in different roles, but he was there the whole time, and some of the people that work around the team were there the entire time, and, you know, teammates that he knew the whole time, you know. So I think the finality of it, that kind of hit him, and he was a little down about it, but going, you know, this is what he wanted. And I think he'll have a cup of coffee in the NHL. Whether he'll have a career or not, I don't know. I would tend to think not, but will Kyle play an NHL game? I think he will, yeah. But, you know, but it's kind of funny when I was looking at the numbers, you know, I kind of know it in my head, but, you know, because he missed three quarters of his second season. He missed with that shoulder surgery. And, you know, it's kind of interesting when you look at it, like Brandon Peary's played a full half season more than Kyle Beach. Kyle's played the same amount of games, AHL games, as Jeremy Moore. You know, I mean, if he can get his act together, you know, if one team, you know, some guys, they need someone to give up on them in order to get it right, you know, like get their head straight. And if this is it for him, I don't know that it will be. I'm not saying it is, but it, you know, I mean, there's still attributes there that teams find a, you know, listen, if teams keep giving Akeem Alou a chance, Akeem Alou, who's never done anything wrong in his own mind in his life, every one of Akeem Alou's failures have been everybody else's fault but his own. If that guy can keep getting chances with team after team after team, Kyle can too. So. Good luck to Kyle Beach. Rockford last night at home beat Oklahoma City 4-3. Mac Caruth, Mac the Truth Caruth. That's a real nickname. Mac the Truth Caruth. His first AHL start of his pro career. So really it's his first pro start. Nobody really looks at the ECHL as much of a league. So it's really it's his first pro start. Picked up the victory. You know, kind of shaky there in the first and second period, but settled down. Made some big saves in the third. Isogs had the worst penalty kill in the AHL without their best penalty killer, Philip Deneau, who's out of action right now with an eye injury. Came up with two huge, huge penalty kills in the last 4.5 minutes of that game to preserve the 4-3 victory over the Linus Omark and the Oklahoma City Barons. Brad Winchester, Garrett Ross, and Brandon Peary with the goals. Again, actually, this weekend is the Ice Hogs' first 3-3. Friday, Saturday, and Sunday. Sunday, they'll be in Iowa to take on the Iowa Wild. Maybe I should go to okay, I know what it is. Brandon Peary. I want to talk about Stan Bowman. Stan Bowman gave an interview, apparently, to Mark Lazarus of the Chicago Sun-Times on Tuesday night when the Blackhawks were in Dallas. Bowman had some things to say about Brandon Peary. Lazarus asked him about the Peary demotion. And let's see here. Stan Bowman, there's a couple of things that are really... Stan Bowman on Brandon Peary. I don't look at it as a disappointment. I look at it as the way the system works. When you go some games when nothing happens for you offensively, it's understandable that you want to get your confidence back. And that's a hard thing to do in the NHL. It's a little easier in Rockford when you're still getting the big minutes. Even if you go through a slump down there, your ice time doesn't change. That's interesting. That's the motto we have. So when you suck in Rockford, it doesn't matter. You're still getting the same amount of ice time, apparently. When you're up here and it's not going good for you for a few games in a row, you play less. Now this, superstar, this is the comment that I want to talk about. This is Stan Bowman. I'm very comfortable using Brandon at any point. It's just that currently we don't need him. What the fuck does that mean?
I was just about to ask the same question. What the hell does that mean?
He says in one breath, he says that the reason why Brandon Peary's in Rockford is because he needs to get his confidence back, which, of course, that's not what Joe Quenneville said. Joe Quenneville said, and it's a stock answer from Joe Quenneville. You know, he asks why Brandon Peary's going down. It's like, well, we'd like to see him work on his defense. Okay, fine. Stan Bowman says, well, we need him to get his confidence back. But then in the next breath, he says, we're comfortable using him at any point. Just right now, we don't need him. So what's the reason why he was sent down? Like, I mean, I know the reason why he was sent down. The reason why he sent down was salary cap. And because it wasn't defense, Stan Bowman is right. I mean, he was losing ice time, but why was he losing ice time? And I know a lot of people, you know, he was doing so well on the Kane line. Well, yeah, I mean, a lot of guys will do well on the Kane line. Michael Hanzus will do well on the Kane line and then not produce offensively on the fourth line. It's a byproduct of who you're skating with. But Brandon Peary was on the third line with Christopher Stieg and Andrew Shaw, and he wasn't producing. That's the reason why he was sent to Rockford. He's, you know, he's not producing on that third line, so you got to get that third line going. So where does Brandon Peary play after that? He doesn't. I don't buy that it was, Brandon needs to work on his defensive game. I don't buy it. I mean, does he need to work on his defensive game? Yeah, sure. But that's not the reason why he got sent back to Rockford. The reason why he got sent back to Rockford was because he was going to get sat out of the lineup. And as Bowman said, I mean, why not just send him to Rockford when he's going to get his minutes? The reason why he's not on the Blackhawks right now, and you could splice it any way you want. You could, if you're a fan, you could say, oh, well, why didn't they just keep him with Kane? It doesn't matter. Guys get moved around in the lineup. If you can't produce with Christopher Stieg and Andrew Shaw on your wings and you're Brandon Peary, I mean, that's on Peary. Now, I talked to Peary last night, and, you know, I'll say this. I feel really bad for Peary, and, you know, just on a human level, because talking to him, he's taking this really hard. I think on some level, he doesn't understand it. I don't know. Maybe he spends too much time reading, you know, all the Super Blackhawks fans' tweets to him or something. I don't know. But I mean, you can just see it in his eyes. Like I wanted to ask him. I planned on asking him about this quote. I asked him about the Lazarus interview. And, you know, I was going to ask him about this, you know, Blackhawks don't need you. And, you know, I was just going to say, like, hey, what do you got to do to, you know, just a simple, hey, what do you got to do to make the Blackhawks need you? But I felt so bad for the guy because you could tell, like, I mean, he's hurt by this. You know, and I talked to Ted Dent, and, you know, Dent said that, you know, he had a long conversation with Peary when he got back, and he said it. You know, he basically admitted it took him a full game to sort of just kind of realize where he was. I mean, that's not what Ted Dent said. These are my words, but you know, it seemed like it took Peary like a game to get settled and accept it and just start playing. But yeah, I mean, that's why, you know, again, I feel bad for Peary. You know, I mean, he's a guy that was up there. He was having a lot of success. Michael Hanzus came back. They moved stuff around, and all of a sudden he's not having success. But the reality is, you know, I don't like Christopher Stieg. I think it was the wrong move for the Blackhawks to make as far as bringing a guy in, and I'll stand by that. I have no time for Christopher Stieg. But Andrew Shaw makes stuff happen on the ice. When Andrew Shaw made a name for himself in the AHL, it was on Brandon Peary's line. So there's no excuses if you're Peary. You know, and I've also, people say, oh, well, Brandon Peary's not a third-line player. Well, in the traditional sense of the way teams have been formulated over the years, no. I mean, he's not your prototypical third-line checking center. But that's not what the Blackhawks' third line is. The Blackhawks' third line, all that line has to do is score. It's all that line has to do right now. You got Marcus Kruger and Ben Smith, they're playing more of a checking role than anybody else, if you want to call it that. Jonathan Toews is your best defensive forward. He draws most of the matchups. And then Quenneville doesn't mind playing Patrick Kane against just about anybody. So all that third line has to do is score. And that's why he got sent to, you know, he was going to get sat out of the lineup, and then Bowman stepped in and said, well, I'm going to send this guy down to Rockford if this is at the point that we're at. And I don't blame him for that. I just don't understand. We don't need him right now. What the hell does that mean? You know.
Doesn't make sense to me.
Victor Svedberg, the big 6'9" Swedish defenseman the Blackhawks brought in over the offseason. Started the season in Rockford on an AHL contract, and then they were super impressed and quickly swooped in and signed him to an NHL deal. Victor Svedberg last night injured in the game against Oklahoma City. Really weird-looking injury. I don't have a the former NHL player was sitting next to me in the press box last night. Immediately said that's got to be an MCL. But we'll see. Victor Svedberg last night, he was stepping up on an Oklahoma City forward at the blue line, and it just looked like he, for whatever reason, he turned to his right. And so imagine the outside of his right knee is now facing the oncoming forward, but then it looked like his knee or his skate kind of got caught underneath him, and then when they collided, his knee just buckled, and he fell on it. So he just fell awkwardly, so it twisted the knee, and then Svedberg immediately grabbed the knee and just started screaming in pain, like repeatedly. I mean, not that it was funny, but I mean, you could hear it all the way up in the press box how loud this guy was screaming. But saw him after the game. I didn't talk to him, but I saw him after the game walking out of the locker room by himself. You know, he was showered, suited up, and he was walking on one crutch. That doesn't mean that it's not a serious injury. It could be something serious. I guess we'll just have to find out in a couple of days. But yeah, Svedberg right now, I would imagine he's not playing for the foreseeable future, at least till after the Christmas break. But I don't know. Well, we'll see. I don't want to speculate. But. I don't know if there's any more. What else is going on with the Blackhawks? Refresh my memory.
Just pretty much kicking the shit out of everyone. Well, you have the Corey Crawford injury, and I think Ronta stepped up pretty nicely. Obviously, Ken Simpson being called up. That was the one thing I did notice when I was in Rockford. I didn't realize how big Ken Simpson was. He's a big dude.
Yeah, Matt Kruse even bigger. Matt Kruse, 6'4". Ken Simpson's like 6'3", 6'3 and a half. Yeah, and then Ronta's a small guy. He's like 6, probably 6 feet, 6'1 maybe. But, yeah, Simpson and Kruse are big boys.
Now, let me ask you this, and obviously with the Corey Crawford injury, and I heard 3 weeks. Obviously, it seems that Ronce is going to take the bulk of the starts. This goes back to the signing of Nikolai Haviboulin. I mean, injury or not, he was not playing extremely well, and it's unfortunate that he was hurt when he was, because obviously with Corey Crawford going down, this would have been a good time to kind of solidify himself and get back on track. What do you think of, I mean, obviously the foreseeable future, you know, Ronta and Ken Simpson is your 1-2 for the next, you know, 2 weeks or so?
I'll just say this. And this is my feeling. But the indications that I have is that Haviboulin's time in Chicago is done. So we'll see. But
well, Ronce is making a good case for that backup spot for sure.
Yeah, well, yeah, but let's just I played his last game as a Blackhawk. And I don't really think it dates back to a few weeks before this, but yeah, I don't know. We'll see. Maybe I'm wrong, but that's just the indication I got, but you know, we'll see. But I mean, there's a lot of concerns. I mean, obviously, you know, when you're talking about Haviboulin, like, I mean, the Blackhawks, you know, trying to bring you try to bring Javi Vullin back into the picture. Obviously, there's cap situation now. I mean, they're a lot closer to the cap than they were before he got injured. Javi Vullin. So, yeah, I mean, it's, but I don't know. Just some, I don't know. That's just my feeling. Based on some things. But, you know, we'll see. We'll see what happens there. Rauta's been fine. I just, I think you have to wait and see before you say, oh, yeah, you know, I mean, you know, it's one thing just being the backup. It's like a lot of guys, even Javi Vullin, you know, like I don't buy that Corey Crawford got hurt because he was overworked. You know, every goalie that I've ever talked to says they want to play all the time. And at the same time, every goalie I've ever talked to says it's not the games that wear you out, it's the practicing. So, like, if I was a coach, what I would do is give my goaltender, like Corey Crawford, I'd play Corey Crawford 65 games, but I'd give him some practices off. You know, I mean, obviously maybe he doesn't do the morning skates, you know, sometimes. I mean, that's a dialogue that you have with your goaltender. What do you feel more comfortable doing? Do you need the morning skate? You know, but I just give him practices off. I don't know any goalie that doesn't want to play all the time. You know, or any goalie says, geez, I can only play 55 games, otherwise I get tired. Give me a break. You know, that's stupid shit that gets in fans' heads. Like, oh, they've played him the last 5 games. It's time to give him a break. It's like Jonathan Toews plays 20 minutes a night. We have to give him a break? How come Jonathan Toews doesn't have to sit out every third game? Oh, they can't play that Corey Crawford 6 games in a row. What's Joe Quenneville thinking? He's going to get him hurt. Jonathan Toews' pinky is hurt, and he can't take as many face-offs and stuff. If you watch Toews, like, he doesn't – like, if you're at the game and you watch him, like, behind the play, the past couple of games, like, Toews hasn't had his hand on the stick unless he needs it. You know, I mean, it's just something – I haven't really noticed him do that a lot before. And now, you know, the past, like, I don't know, 4 games I've been trying to watch him, like, you know, kind of figure out, okay, what's wrong with this guy? Because there's obviously something's wrong. And we found out that it's a finger. You know, at least that's what's obvious. Maybe there's – I don't know if there's anything else. But, yeah, I mean, it's like when – if you watch him behind the play, like Sunday night at the United Center when they play the Kings – if you watch him, like he doesn't put his hand on his stick unless he needs to. So it's obviously bothering him. So yeah, maybe once every 5 games, Jonathan Toews should sit in the press box so he's not too tired come playoff time. Give me a break. All right, let's do some emails and then wrap this up. I got some shoveling to do, I think, Superstar.
You do. You have a lot of shoveling to do.
We haven't talked about my excursion to California.
We haven't yet. We haven't. I know what happened because I got the picture. So
it was such a great time. Although I did, karma did come back to bite me in the ass because I did all that windows down driving in California in late November, and I came back to Chicago, and 5 days later I've been sick ever since. So. It came back to bite me.
Yeah. Well, it didn't help. I mean, I don't know what the temperature out there was, but I believe it was like 15 when you got back.
Yeah, well, yeah, I left. I don't know. I left. It wasn't too bad. I think it was like 40 when I left. And then, yeah, when I landed at the airport, I walked outside. I was like, crap. Because I was dressed in my California garb, you know. I was like in complete denial. I walked outside. You know what was funny? I parked in an economy lot at the airport, and I took, you know, I take the shuttle over to the terminal. I get, when I came back, I have to catch the shuttle to the economy lot. And I get on the shuttle and I sit down, and the woman that I sat down next to on the shuttle was the same woman that I took the shuttle to the terminal with when I flew out. I looked at her and I'm like, "Excuse me, ma'am." I go, "Weren't we on the same shuttle together?" I mean, like, I don't like ever say anything to anybody, but I thought that was like such a crazy coincidence.
Yeah, definitely.
But anyway,
it would have been better if she was on your flight.
Yeah, well, I've had that plenty of times in Vegas. Plenty of times, like you leave, you know, and then 5 days, or you go out there, and 5 days later, you're on a plane. The same people that you're on a plane with get back on it. That happens all the time. But anyway, Pearl Jam was awesome, Superstar. You got to go with me this summer. Like, I'm not one of these, like, jaded, like Pearl Jam fans, like you see on, like, their message boards and stuff. Like, if they don't play well, I'll tell you they don't play well. But they're playing at such a level right now. It's just amazing. Played for 3 hours every night, except the Oakland show that I didn't get to go to. They played for 3.5 hours. Pissed me off. But I think I was ready to come home. No, you got to go. I'm actually thinking about going to Europe to see him. But
that's
they're playing
an excursion right there.
Yeah, we'll see. I don't know how much I got. We actually have an email here. Remember that show that we did when like 2 minutes after it was over, I text you. I go, "We shouldn't have done that show like a couple of months ago." Yeah. I regretted doing that show like 5 minutes into it. Well, we got an email about that show. It's kind of an older email, but it's because remember I talked about my father on that show. Like,
Yeah.
And it came off like totally bad because like my father and I have like an interesting relationship, but I mean, I like my father, you know, but I got an email here about how I should value my relationship with my father. It's like, but I won't read it, but I will tell you a funny story about my father. Cause I got suckered into going to this, speaking about vacation days, I got suckered into going to this, fishing trip with my father and my uncle next summer. And it's like way up, like it's like on the border of Canada and Minnesota. And it's for like a week and we're going because, you know, like how my grandfather passed away. Like we're going because like it's where my grandfather took my father and my uncle when they were younger. So like they want to take, I mean, I'm going, you know, of course I'm in my 30s, you know, it's like I'm not, but like, and I've been fishing, like we used to go fishing when I was younger, but I mean, we never caught it. I remember one fishing trip we were up in Wisconsin and I think we were in Rhinelander. We were in Rhinelander, Wisconsin. I swear to God, Superstar, we caught the same fish 5 times. And we knew it was the same fish because this fish had been, it had gotten like in a fight or something and had like this long scar on the right side of its body. And we caught that same fish 5 times. We were like we're in the boat. You know, and we were just like in like a canoe boat, right? And we're like, oh, you know, catch it. And it's like, oh, you know, my dad and I think we're throwing them back. And my uncle was taking them and he was going to, you know, cut them up for dinner or whatever. Well, we're like, oh, look at this fish. So we like unhook it and throw it back. And then like 10 minutes later, my uncle's like, we got one. And he holds it up. And we're like, that's the fish we just caught. You know, you know, it's like, it's one of those trips. But yeah, so I'm getting suckered into this. But it's like, I don't know, like my father and I being around each other for like long stretches of time, it's not ideal. Like we're better in smaller doses. Like, I'll tell you a story. When I worked with my, because that was actually the story I told on the show. When I worked with my father, like, doing, like, he does side jobs, and he asked me to help him, you know, and I've got nothing to do. So I'm like, oh, okay, Dad, I'll help you. So I'm helping him on the side job, and, you know, it's like the end of, like, a super long weekend, you know. Like, we worked all day Saturday, went home, you know, slept for 5 hours, go right back, meet him for breakfast, and then we go right back to work. And now it's, like, really, really late on Sunday night, right? We're both, you know, aggravated, agitated with each other. We just, you know. So I'm not, like, I'm not very tool-y, you know. Like, you know, I work with numbers and letters, you know. I write and I'm an accountant, right? I don't handle tools for a living, right, Superstar?
No, you're not mechanically inclined at all.
No.
I've seen you try to put up a tent.
I know. Every time I've been camping with Superstar, I like lay out my tent and I'm like, go out over here, Superstar, help me. And then I just stand there and watch everybody else put up my tent. But I'm high maintenance in the wilderness. I can do stuff, you know, like if I could put things together, but like, I'm not like a handyman. Let's just put it that way. So it's like 8 o'clock at night on Sunday night. My dad and I are at our wits' ends with each other. So he goes, I need a screwdriver. This is a great story. So he goes, I need a screwdriver. I'm like, what kind of screwdriver do you need? He goes, I need a Phillips head. I'm like, okay. So I'm looking, I go to the toolbox where the screwdriver should be, and there's no screwdrivers in there. So like, I'm walking around looking for a screwdriver. We're doing a dentist's office, right? And so like, there's all these rooms and stuff, like little like cubicles. So it's like, I'm looking all over for this thing. And finally I go in like the receptionist area and I find a screwdriver. Now, by the time I find the screwdriver, my father is already, you know, because my father, he's got no patience whatsoever. Like, I mean, so he's already, like, looking for me. Like, where the hell is this screwdriver, you know? So he comes, he finds me, and I pick up the screwdriver, and he's like, give me it. I go, it's not a Phillips head. And he goes, I'm looking for a Phillips head. This is a flathead. He goes, no, it's not. And I go, Dad, I know what a Phillips head screwdriver looks like. This is not a Phillips head screwdriver. He goes, yes, it is. And it's like, we're just screaming back and forth at each other. He goes, yes, it is. I go, no, it's not. I go, and then I as I'm doing this, I'm trying to look for another screwdriver. And he goes, yes, it is. Give it to me. I go, Dad, it's not a screwdriver. So he grabs it from me. And it was one of those screwdrivers that you pull the thing out of the handle and you flip it around and you put it back in and all of a sudden, wow, there it is, a Phillips screwdriver. Well, like, I don't fucking know, right? So my dad goes to me, he goes, this is my father, right? He goes, you know, Christopher, I don't mean to say you're stupid, but God damn it, you're fucking stupid. Like, thanks, Dad. I don't mean to say you're stupid, but God damn it, you're fucking stupid.
Awesome.
So that's why I don't really like working with my father too much. I could paint.
I want a running blog on that trip.
My dad's already, he already doesn't want to, apparently. My mom told me the other day, she's like, apparently he doesn't want to go now. Because he's, my niece's first trip to Disney World is also happening next June. And he doesn't, like, he's like, oh, I'm going to miss that now. So I don't know what's going on. But I'm not going to Disney World. So if the fishing trip falls through, then I might fly over the ocean, go see some Pearl Jam shows in Europe. They're playing some cool places I'd like to go see. Like, just like the, you know, I'm a world traveler, Superstar.
You are. You are definitely that.
Oh, okay. All right. Before we go, we don't here on the thirdmanin.com Puck Chatter Radio, we don't hand out a PUD of the Week award. But if we did, this week's PUD of the Week would actually go to Chicago Blackhawks head of public or media relations, Brandon Faber. And I know this is like whatever, but this needs to be said. So, Superstar, you know how like this 'tis the season for like, you know, I mean, people are doing charitable things, right? Like, you know, you see someone. Yeah, I mean, you come walking. I walked out of Best Buy last weekend. All right, actually, funny story about Best Buy I got to tell you about, too. But I don't think we'll have time here. But, you know, you see people, you know, they're holding out, like, their charity cups or whatever. You throw whatever you got, you know, change you got, a couple bucks. Everybody's feeling charitable, right? But not everybody is the Chicago Blackhawks where, you know, you have access to Blackhawks TV to follow you around and show how great, you know, a person you are, right?
Oh, of course not.
Yeah. Okay. So Brandon Faber, God love the guy. Don't know him at all. Maybe he's a great guy. I don't know. So Brandon Faber goes on his Twitter account the other day. Now the Blackhawks, you know, they do a lot of charity work, right? But, and I'm sure there's some things that the Blackhawks do charity-wise that they don't document for Blackhawks TV. I'm not saying that. They do a lot of things that they document for Blackhawks TV, right? So they're at a hospital the other day, you know, handing out toys for kids and stuff like that. So Brandon Faber goes on his Twitter account, right? This is what he says. Visiting Lurie Children with Patrick Kane and Brandon Saad, Versteeg and Hjalmarsson today quickly reminds you what this is all about. Going to charities with, you know, with video cameras, exploiting sick kids for, you know, the boosting of the Blackhawks brand. Is that what it's all about, Brandon Faber? Come on. It's like, there's a difference between charity and public relations. Like, what they're doing is good, going to the hospital, visiting kids, you know, taking time. I'm not saying that it's all PR. But I'd say it's about 25% charity and 75% PR. If you're really sincere about something, you don't need to point it out on Twitter. And you don't need to have Blackhawks TV document it so you can put it up on the internet and show, oh, this is how great of a guy Patrick Kane is. Give me a break.
I agree. I mean, if you're going to do it, just do it. I mean, and every team, every pro sports team does it. You know, they got to make sure their fans realize, you know, what charitable organization they are and how much, you know, the community around them means to them. But you're right, there's a sense of, okay, do it, but to a point where it's not being shoved down your throat is the fine line that you got to kind of toe. You know, just do it because you want to do it, or don't do it.
Right, and I get it. You know, a large part of this is like job justification. You know, like Brandon Faber is his official title is Senior Director of Communications and Community Relations. So there's a job justification thing there. It's like, okay, well, we're going to go do this, but we also have to document it, you know, because, you know, that's part of what I do. That's part of my job. I have to let everybody know, you know, community relations. Not only do we go out, but you know what? I think less is more. You know, it's like what I talked about a couple of weeks ago when the Blackhawks invited me out to the One Goal, Two and 17 Seconds movie launch party. It's like, what was the reason why they invited the individuals that they invited that day? What was the reason why they had us there? It wasn't really because they liked us or they were trying to do something nice for us. I mean, that was part of it, but it was a small part of it. The real reason was they were getting people into that room that were going to immediately be like, wow, look what the Blackhawks are doing for us. They gave us this book. This movie is awesome. And then word of mouth spreads, right? That's why they had us there. And I'm not, like, you know, I've talked to them since, and it was nice for them to invite me because, I don't know, maybe they misjudged. Like, I'm not going to do that. I mean, I talked about it on the show, but it's not like I'm going to go on my Twitter. It's like, oh, my God, this is so awesome. Like, I'm not doing that, you know. So, like, but that's what they wanted people to do, and that's what they knew that people would do. And they even said it while they were like, yeah, if you want to go on your Twitter accounts now and feel free, you know, that's what they had us there for. So it's like, why not just go and do these charities and let the word of mouth spread on its own? When you're trying to constantly trying to shine a light on yourself and pat yourself in the back, like, look at what we're doing. We're such great people. We're the Blackhawks. We're so caring. I mean, it rings hollow. I mean, I'm not saying that you're not, but I'm not the only one who feels this way. I'm not the only one that looks at this and say, you know, come on, you know. And I think that that's a bad practice. I don't think you want people thinking that you're insincere or seeing through your bullshit, if it is, in fact, bullshit. And to me, it's just a dumb thing to tweet out. You know, and again, media and PR people, like, sometimes they can't help themselves because they identify an opportunity and it's just what they do. So it's like, you know, we have to show people that this is what we're doing because we're such great people, you know, and you're building the Blackhawks brand. I mean, that's their job. But in the case of the charity and going and it's like, when you do things with, you know, like war veterans and how about instead of – let's do it this way. How about instead of, oh, show pictures of sick kids and then, you know, there's Patrick Kane and Andrew Shaw and Brian Bickle in their Blackhawks jerseys, right? Instead of interviewing Brian Bickle after the experience, about the experience of visiting, why not just do an interview with the kids? Why not show the players in the background and focus on the sick kids that you're exploiting? Or is that what it's not all about? Give me a break. Tis the season.
Amen, brother.
Anyway, it was only like an hour and a half ago I was outside with Rutu singing Christmas carols under my breath. We should do a Christmas show, Superstar. What are you doing on Christmas night? You can't be doing anything.
I don't think I'm doing anything Christmas night.
Well, I don't know. We'll see. So this week coming up, Blackhawks, obviously Sunday night, LA Kings. That's a big matchup. LA Kings have been just stomping through Canada, beating the snot out of everybody. They're in Ottawa this afternoon. So the Kings play in Ottawa this afternoon, then they'll get in town. So Pat Foley will have the excuse monitor ramped up. Oh, those Kings gotten in before the Blackhawks did. Hawks in Toronto. Going to enjoy that one tonight. Rutu and I will sit on a couch with a glass of eggnog. And then Rockford tonight, Sunday in Iowa. What's going on this week with the Blackhawks?
What's that?
Oh, Blackhawks in Nashville on Tuesday, and then the Vancouver Canucks, Superstar. You know a little bit about this. You're going to be there with me. The Vancouver Canucks come in on Friday night at the United Center for a big matchup. Actually, the Hawks are off after that until the Devils on the night, the 23rd. So, but my next time out in Rockford will be on the 21st for Brian Bickle bobblehead night at the BMO. I don't know if that's ever happened before, Superstar, where a player has a bobblehead night with in two different arenas within 7 days of each other. Has that ever happened before?
I doubt it.
Now, it's happened for Barack Obama, because a lot of teams did the Barack Obama bobblehead, or the presidential election bobblehead, you know, where they did this in Rockford, I'm pretty sure. I know, so it's happened for like that, but for a player, I don't know that that's ever happened before. Sunday night against the Kings, it's Brian Bickle bobblehead night. I know that the Ice Hogs asked that Brian Bickle had just come, you know, to the game next Saturday and come and wave or whatever, but I don't know. I don't know if that'll happen. But so yeah, that's that. I don't know. I think we're gonna have another show this week. I don't know if it'll be with you, Superstar. I don't know if I'll need your help on that companionship. I'll let you know, and then we'll work on a Christmas show and a whole lot of other things going on. I got a big article coming up on Monday on thethirdmanin.com that I think will be interesting for a lot of people to read. Not a Blackhawks or an Ice Hawks story, but I think it's pretty important in today's day and age of hockey. And some other things also coming up, Klaus Dahlbeck article, and maybe do a little Brandon Peary thing. We'll see. But I think that's going to be about it for today, Superstar.
All right, buddy. Well, enjoy your eggnog and put your tree up.
I'll do that. Yeah, I'm trying to think if there's anything I forgot to talk about. I don't think so. All right, that's a wrap. Superstar, say goodbye. Did you say goodbye to the people?
Not yet. Goodbye, people.
All right, everybody. TheThirdManIn.com, PuckChatter.com, BlogTalkRadio.com/TheThirdManIn. Also available on iTunes. Also available on a bunch of other things that I don't really understand because I'm dumb. I'm going to go back to trying to figure out Windows 8. Everybody, have a good Saturday or whenever you're listening to this, and we'll talk to you next time. Good night, everybody.
So you think you can tell heaven from hell, blue skies from pain? Can you tell a green field from a cold steel rail, a smile from a veil? Do you think you can tell?
Surprise. It's him. on this young man has had a very trying rookie season. What with the litigation, the notoriety, his subsequent deportation to Canada, and that country's refusal to accept him, well, I guess that's more than most 21-year-olds could handle.
Oglethorpe!
I tell you, I should have stayed home and played with myself.
Whoa, baby!